Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy. It's Bergkamp. That's magnificent.
Gentle squad.
Well done. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to a Bergkamp Wonderland. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm your host again. It's John. They couldn't get anyone else in. Brexit talks failed and I'm all that's left. No Danny either. He's decided to hide behind the buttons this week. He can't even be bothered to get on a microphone. But I do have a certain returning guest who I know is very popular with a lot of you and hasn't been on as much this season. It's the Pop-Up Pirate. How are you doing, Chris? You all right?
Hello, mate. I wouldn't say popular. I would say tolerable? No, intolerable probably is more tolerated, maybe. Anyway, hello. Yes, been a while. Are you well?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well. You maybe not popular. You drive a lot of tweets. There you go.
Okay. Yeah, I can sort of. Yeah.
You help us with interaction.
Yes. Play the Twitter game.
There we go.
Say. Yes.
Yeah. And we also have on man who's definitely popular. That is Carl. Who knows how to play the underground game? I said I had a thing in my head, Carl, and it just went, and I just lost it there halfway through. Sorry, mate. I've let you down.
I say sorry to all my customers that unfortunately don't get a good service. Good morning, Andrew Fife. How are you?
Although you did get some good news actually this week, Carl, because you found out if you don't know and you haven't listened, hashtag fuck Ellis. Is a hashtag that's been made popular by Carl, is now so popular that Ellis's friends who aren't even Arsenal fans have now set up a WhatsApp group called hashtag fuck Ellis.
That honestly has to be my proudest moment ever.
I was going to say, that's your PFA player of the year moment, that is.
I mean, I haven't got any tattoos, but if I ever get a tattoo, it's going to be hashtag fuck Ellis.
Oh, that's brilliant. I also have to do a quick announcement as an apology, listeners. You'll notice I wasn't on the radio show at the weekend or for the Bartow game, and we were supposed to do this giveaway for this thing we've been speaking about for quite a while, the whole, you know, Santi Cazorla signed frame shirt and everything. And because I wasn't there, of course, it didn't get done because, you know, some people, Danny.
Useless.
Couldn't organise a piss up in a brewery. However, I'm fairly sure I'm on for the Southampton game this weekend. And even if I'm not, then we'll definitely do the draw this weekend for the shirt. So if you haven't entered, you've got an extra week. So check out our pinned tweet, check out our Facebook post for it. Again, it's very simple. It's just like, retweet the post, all that kind of stuff, and you get yourself entered. But we're definitely doing the draw this weekend. So apologies again. We probably should have said at the start when we were actually going to draw it. But, you know, that would be organisation. Now, on to much more organised things, like Arsenal Football Club. We're going to save the Bartow game for a little bit, because obviously there's not a lot to talk about this week. But the one thing everyone has been talking about is a certain Mesut Ozil. I'll read out the Instagram post. I'm sure you've all heard it, and you're probably even bored of it now, but we've got to do it. It's just what's going on right now, and there's nothing else really going on. It says, when you start supporting a football club, you don't support it because of the trophies or a player or history. You support it because you found yourself somewhere there, found a place where you belong. Quoting one Dennis Bergkamp. Lots of players liked it, and fans and everything. And they all came out in a show of support of Mesut Ozil. I've got my own opinions on this. We'll get to in a minute. Carl, I want to come to you first. Does this matter? Does it, you know, even really say anything? Was it actually Ozil? Was it his PR team? Do you even care? Is it beyond the point of ridiculous now? What's your take on the whole thing? Because it seems to, one Instagram post has seemed to really split the fan base.
I'm bored of it, I'll be honest with you. Listen, I understand where Mesut Ozil is coming from. He obviously wants to play, and he personally didn't write that tweet. I have no doubt. I don't even think he knows his Twitter password, to be honest. His account is run by someone else, that's 100% certain. But obviously, it was a message to the manager and a message to try and get the fans on his side. And, you know, if that's what he wants to do, right, that's up to him. He obviously... he's feeling a certain way by not playing. And I can understand, because you think of it in your own workplace. If your boss was picking other people to do all the special projects and picking other people to go on the trips abroad and things like that. And he's not picking you, and you're sitting there wondering why you're not being chosen. You're either going to try and get people on your side, or you're going to go to your manager and ask the question why. And that's, I'm assuming that he would have spoken to the manager. You know, I can't see him not approaching Unai Emery and saying, boss, why are you not picking me? And obviously, whatever Unai Emery said, he's not agreed with. So he's tried to get the fans on his side, because like we all say, the players definitely check their social media. They must Google their own names or type their own names into Twitter or Facebook or whatever and see what people are saying about them. And this is obviously what happened. So he's trying to get fans on his side. But for me, I'm bored of it. It's Arsenal airing their dirty laundry. You know, it's something that could have been kept in-house. None of us will ever know the real reason why Mesut Ozil is not being chosen. Whether it's money, whether it's his performance, whether Unai Emery doesn't like him. The real reason, we will never know. We can make speculations and we can think we know the reason why, but we'll never know. But it's just getting beyond ridiculous now.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Chris, you love a bit of social media. And you love it. You love an Insta post.
I do.
Generally, it's a nice scene, and you know, it's a beautiful seaside view and stuff like that when you're on one of your runs, which are always very nice to check out. People, if you're not following Chris, but do you take this as a little bit cynical? I mean, like Carl said, there it is, kind of airing the dirty laundry in public. I mean, from my point of view, I'm not necessarily a fan of it. I understand it, and it's kind of playing the, you know, back me or back the manager kind of game, at least with the fans. I'm not sure how the club are going to take it, but what's your sort of take on everything that's happened this past week just concerning the Ozil thing?
Yeah, I think Carl summed it up pretty well, to be fair. I think, you know, I tend to fall in the same kind of bracket as he does. I'm bored of it as well. I think I've sort of done a bit of I wouldn't say a 180, but I've probably done a 90/120 on this, in that Mesut's a player I've always liked, I've always defended, and I still think we're a quality side with him in it. The problem I think that he's got at this stage is that the game has evolved, the game has moved on. He's a specialist player in a non-specialist team, and that team is incapable of defending at the moment, full stop, which doesn't help his ability, because obviously we know that he's not a player who's going to go and track back specifically. And I've had many discussions with people about this in the past, particularly with Drew, our friend, and he sees it the same way as I do. If you've got Mesut Ozil on your team, the last thing you want is him to be running back, tracking back players, because that's not his game. That's not what he's in the team to do. He's a creative player at the other end. I don't want him chasing back, making tackles. That's not what I want him in the side for. The problem I think that Mesut's got now is that he's becoming an isolated figure in a crowded room, if you like. And something that was very interesting that I read about the quotes that came out from the guy who did Unai Emery's autobiography here was, it reminds me a lot of some of the things that happened at PSG last season, in that he's very keen to give everybody a chance, and he's very keen to give everyone enough rope to hang themselves with. But if you abuse that trust, and if you abuse that chance that you're given, you won't play. And I feel that Mesut has maybe played the sympathy card one too many times. And none of us will really know what happened in the summer. I think all of us will sympathize with what is alleged to have happened, and is, you know, near enough guaranteed to have happened from what we can gather. But I think Unai backed him in the summer, and he gave him that opportunity and said, right, you know, prove everybody wrong. Get out there, do this. The first signs were good. You know, he came in, he did the extra training, he put the work in. And I feel since then that maybe he's just become a little bit complacent. And I feel a little bit like it's becoming the feel sorry for me show. I'm not particularly fussed about the wages side of things, because that's not his fault. That was the club, you know, the club failed in offering him the amount of money they did. I know, you know, we could go over all the reasons why they did it. They lost Alexis. They wanted to sign him up. And let's be honest, if Arsene was still in charge now, Mesut would have played every game this season. We all know that's a fact. But unfortunately for Mesut, he's now got a coach who doesn't put up with this, who doesn't give him the extra days off, who doesn't give him the cuddles, who doesn't give him the luxury to do what he wants. And I don't think that suits Mesut, and I don't think that suits Mesut's people. I'm uncomfortable with the tweet for two reasons, really. One is that I think bringing Dennis Bergkamp's name into it was completely badly advised, because the, as much as I love Mesut, trying to even compare a thought that he's anywhere near what Dennis was for the club is ludicrous. And I also don't like it because it to me was a mechanism to drive a wedge. As you said, John, between the fans, between the managerial structure, the people, you know, the board downwards. And the stupidest part about all of this is I fully expect him to start tomorrow night as captain. And that just, you know, and that just makes the whole system ridiculous. And and the manager is onto a hiding to nothing, because there's clearly an edict somewhere that he's told not, I'm not saying he's told not to play the player, but I get the impression that he's been backed by the people who employ him to say, look, you don't want to play him, don't play him, that's fine, we'll ship him out. And yet the fans are all clamoring for him to play. And for the record, I'll finish on this point, if he'd have played last week in Partey, I don't think we would have got anything more than we got out of the players that were on the pitch that night anyway, to be honest. I don't think he'd have changed that game. So I do think that's a bit of a redundant point. So sorry for ranting, but that's
That's exactly what I want. I mean, I take your point totally, that I don't think he would have changed the game last week. People saying we didn't create chances. Well, we did, and we just didn't take them. It was, you know, sadly for me, like Lacazette on that particular night, I've absolutely loved him this season. I think he's probably been our best player consistency wise, but he just wasn't taking the chances on that particular night, and a few other players as well. So Lacazette certainly wasn't the only one. Everyone was poor for the full 90 minutes. I don't think Mesut's going to make any difference. I think people forget that on that unbeaten run, he wasn't in the side that much. You know, he wasn't always there playing. And we got a lot of results without him. I've kind of made this joke the last 2-3 weeks, saying, is Mesut Ozil a centre-back? Last night, everyone, all the Arsenal fans were raving about Serge Gnabry, which I understand. You know, he's playing for Bayern Munich, and he's playing for them for a reason. And he's a very good player. And everyone's saying he's exactly the sort of player that we need. But I just, I did the same joke. I said, I didn't know Serge Gnabry is now a centre-back. You know, yes, we do need more creativity. I'm not dismissing that fact, but defence is where we've seen the real problem. Emery's press conference today, he said, and I'll ad-lib slightly because of his, obviously, he's kind of broken English, so it's not a direct quote, but mostly the key is in his hands and he is working very well this week. And I ask him in the conversations to be consistent, to be available for us in training. And when you can train with quality and consistency, it can help us with the best performances. Now this week is good for all players, we're in a big important moment, I know he wants to play, but we need to be consistent and available in training and the matches without the injuries and without being sick.
That's
like
really
that we can find and see the best Mesut with us. That to me is, I mean, he hasn't dug the player out.
No, but he has in a way, hasn't he?
Yeah. And
isn't that a kind of man the fuck up?
Yeah, and I mean, this is the thing. People saying Emery hates him. I mean, you put it perfectly, Chris. He backed him in the summer after the World Cup thing, and the whole club did, and they came around him, and you know, the squad did as well, which I think was great. And he was in the team for a while, but his performances did start to dip, and he got taken out. And it was, you know, this is new for us because it wouldn't happen under Arsene. The only time he was out of the team is if he asked Arsene for a day off, essentially. It was kind of the only time he wouldn't be playing. Mm. And he came back in again. And again, he started well, but then the performance has just dropped and he hasn't played since. And I do think it is on the player.
Mm.
And go on. That particular quote you wouldn't say there from Unai.
That line as well. The key word for me in that sentence is available. Mm. And the fact that he says I need him to be available in training. You know, I hate sort of when people criticize me for using this analogy, but it's the best one I can use. If I had a player training for me, you know, plays on my Sunday league side, who turned up to train and was either, and I'm not saying this is what Mesut's done, but just to give an example, was either late for training, didn't put in the application, didn't put in the hard yards, did that thing that we all did at PE at school where you sort of half-heartedly jog through sprints and half-heartedly run through cones with your hands and your jumper, and you know what I mean, and maybe just sort of turned up to do the bare minimum, I wouldn't pick him. I wouldn't care who you are. And that's because if you do, you set the precedent then. And then how on earth do you then say to, you know, another player, sorry, you're not playing because Mezut's here. You know, he has to play. It's just the whole thing is just that, like you said, John, that to me says I'm digging you out again, or I'm looking for a reaction again, but I'm trying really hard. And fair play to Unai. It must be so hard to not sit in that press conference and go, listen, guys, can we just fucking shut up about, like, it must be really hard to not just say what
he
feels.
Today was the first time I saw him look annoyed. So I can't remember who it was, but someone asked a question and they quoted Arsene Wenger saying that Ozil was found a comfortable spot at Arsenal, which I thought was kind of ironic because I was thinking, well, Arsene, you might have contributed a little bit to that. Yeah. But, you know, and you could see Emery was... Yeah, he got the translation of it, which I think sometimes he uses as a cover a little bit because it gives him a little bit of extra time to find the right answer, which I think is fine. That's sensible. Lots of other foreign managers have done it down the years when they've come to the Premier League. But you could see he was a little bit annoyed by it. Not necessarily at the mention of Arsene, but just the whole, oh, the Ozil thing again. You know, I've got to keep going over and over this. Like Chris said there, Carl, there's been a few reports, at least one this season, that, again, you don't know if it's true or not, but we've heard from certain people. And again, it's up to you whether you believe it or not. I happen to believe it just because the person that told us that there was some falling outs and stuff at the training ground and that Ozil got a bit upset and stormed off at one time. That isn't going to get you picked in a team, is it?
No, but you have to understand that he's human and he's frustrated. And this is not me sticking up for Ozil, but like I said, I use the analogy. If your boss wasn't picking you for a project or a task or something like that, and you approached him and you weren't happy with the answer, you would either, one, look for a new job or get angry. Now, he can't do that. He's in football, obviously, bound by a contract, and he can't just go. And why would he go? He's on X amount of money. You know, he's the highest paid player ever. So he can't just walk out and just think, fuck this shit, I'm quitting. Clearly he's not. But you can tell he's a guy that wants to play football. And that's kind of is the saving grace. If he was just happy getting his money, didn't give a fuck, like, you would think, well, you know, why aren't you bothered? Do you remember when a couple of seasons ago when Walcott wasn't being chosen? And everyone was saying, oh, why isn't he kicking up a stink? Why isn't he going to the papers? And you heard nothing about Walcott not being in the squad. Absolutely nothing. And I can remember being on a podcast, I think with you, Chris, and we was talking about it, saying, like, you know, he hasn't gone to the press. He hasn't said this. He hasn't said that. He's just gone about his business, doing nothing. And we was all like, well, is he bothered about playing? Is he happy on his 140 grand a week? Like, But Mesut Ozil is actually, you know, he's bothered about not playing. And that's what kind of... is giving me the kind of, I don't know, incentive to say, yes, I'm actually happy. He's a little bit angry because he wants to play. He wants to go out there and prove it, that he's a good player. Just like you, John. Oh, Chris, sorry. He's going to play tomorrow. I have no doubt about that. Like, I genuinely think he will. But I don't know. I'm half on Mesut's side and half on Unai's side. And it's really hard because I don't support Arsenal because of Mesut Ozil, and I don't support Arsenal because of Unai Emery. I supported them before I even knew who the two were, and I'll support them long after they both left the club. However, I just think this needs to be resolved very, very quickly. And whether nothing really is going to happen until the summer, whether he's going to leave. I mean, I don't know. You guys, do you think that he's going to leave in the summer?
I do. I can't see. The best analogy I could use is it's like owning a Mercedes and taking a Mini to work, isn't it? I mean, like, why would you have such a high profile, highly marketable asset, and more than that, a hugely brilliant footballer on his day? Why would you have that if you're not going to use it? I think the financial thing I don't buy as much as a lot of people seem to think. I do. I think I'll sit where our other colleague Steve sits on this one. I think this idea that we've only got 40 million to spend, I think that's tosh. I think what the club are essentially saying is they're putting out word that we're not going to go out in the summer and say, right, give us all the 50 million pound players because all their valuations will go up. It's obvious. And I think almost having the owner we do keeps us under the radar, so that if we do go out, nobody's talking about how much we actually spent on Aubameyang and Lacazette less than a year ago. Nobody's mentioning that anymore. That seems to be very conveniently brushed under the carpet. We spent a lot of money, and it was almost like Arsene had a party before he left and went, fuck it, let's spend all the money. And I wonder if Mesut's the last piece of the, if you like, you know, the Wenger era, because it feels like he was the last centerpiece of Wenger's crown, if you like. And I feel that it seems to fit both parties now to find a way out of this, an amicable way out of this. And, you know, Mesut is, people compare it to the Pogba situation. It's completely different. Pogba's 25. He's, you know, he's at the peak of his powers. He's one of the most actively marketable players in the game as we speak. And he's vital to what Man United want to do moving forward. Unfortunately, a 31-year-old, you know, former international footballer is not that for us anymore. And it would just, I think, make sense for him to move on and for us as a club to move on.
But it begs the question you have to ask, why would he move on? Like you just said, he's 31 years old, earning 350 or whatever he's earning. No club in Europe is going to pay him that much. No club.
Depends if he wants to play football, so why, doesn't it?
Yeah. But that's the thing. I don't see him. I mean, I think the club have to move him on in whatever way they have to do it. If it means they have to pay part of his wages or give a severance package or, you know,
that's
whatever
what
it is.
Yeah, that's what
you
I
know,
think.
Something, the only way he stays at the club is either there's a instant, and I mean within the next week or two, turnaround from Emery in regards to playing him and him playing consistently, or, you know, Emery goes in the summer and they bring a new manager in just so they can get Ozil back in the team. I don't see the likelihood of either of those things happening.
But even if we did that, can you name me, without researching it, can you name me one other top six club in the big five leagues in Europe that plays with an out-and-out number 10?
I honestly can't think of one.
Nor can I. So what does that say?
Yeah. I mean, that's right. I do think he is a... If you put him in, not Man City because they play a specific style, but if you put him in a top team like a Bayern Munich, where he has a better quality of players around him and he has less responsibility off the ball, then I think he probably looks somewhere like the player that he has done at times this season. Don't get me wrong, obviously the Leicester game and things like that, he was great and everything. But I do think it is partly down to the players around him. And it is it's a dying position. Number 10s now end up looking more like David Silva's and Kevin De Bruyne's, Bernardo Silva, you know, I mean, that's free from Man City, like how much money they've got. But, you know, but it's an example like Paulo Dybala.
I was going to say, Dybala is a good example,
You know, small, nimble, quick, that kind of thing. It's a different kind of player now. I'm the only one out of all of us who doesn't think he'll play tomorrow. I think he might be on the bench, but I don't think he'll play. I did say Socrates is back in training, but I don't think he's available. Ramsey was back, possibly available. If Ramsey's available, I'd imagine he'll play. But yeah, we should get on to Barthez. But before we preview tomorrow's Barthez game, we should talk about the first leg. Yay! Because that was fun. Go on in, Chris. you can go on this because I know you've got some opinions and you got not upset, but a little bit annoyed by people's reactions to our 1-0 defeat.
I don't get upset anymore because it's... Because I've got a life and I got things to do, like wash my hair and do the housework. So I don't let Arsenal upset me anymore because I used to do that and it ruined my weekends. I don't do that anymore. But I did find some of the reaction a little bit over the top. And I know that I get some stick for being too positive. And the one that is always thrown at me time after time after time is people have got a right to express their disappointment as much as I've got the right to say that we should be positive. I get that totally, and I completely respect that, and I completely understand that. But when you've got people who immediately sort of leap to Twitter in particular and say that it's a disgrace and that you know, we should be beating teams like this, that's the old classic, and you know, it was a disgraceful performance, I just think it's a little bit rich. You know, we are at best a top six team in England. That's what we are. If we finish in the top four, fantastic. That doesn't mean we're a top four team. Just like, sorry, Spurs fans, being in the top two doesn't make you title challengers. You're nothing still. You're still no one, and you don't even have a cheese room. So if you can perceive it whatever way you like, if on any given night, I seem to remember Barty Borisov demolishing Bayern Munich in the Champions League. I think it was two seasons ago. I think they won 3-1, and they took them apart. You know, Man City lost to Wigan in the FA Cup last year. Was that a disgrace? Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying we're playing well. We're not. I think we've lost 7 of our last 14. I think that's the stat that's going around. We were poor. We underperformed. And when I say we, I mean the whole team. I couldn't honestly put my hand on my heart and say, he did all right. I thought the whole team were pretty shocking, to be fair. And it was one of those games that I'm not afraid to admit it was on in the background for me because it just didn't grip me at any point in the game. That said, we had, what, 3 chances in the first 5-6 minutes? I think Mkhitaryan should have done better with his in particular. If you score one of those, it's a different game. You know, we played the game on a pudding patch of a pitch. We played with, you know, the usual motley crew at the back, you know, making mistakes. And we only had one tactic, get the ball to Kolasinac, hope for the best. And it didn't work. And I think Lacazette sending off at the end of the game perfectly summed up how I felt about it. You know, it wasn't our night. It was a team that got the goal they wanted. And then they sat behind the ball. And that was that. I fully expect us to turn up tomorrow and comfortably put them aside. We'll Arsenal it, of course. We'll give them a goal, I'm sure of that. But if we don't come out of that tie tomorrow, you know, I'll change my name to Danny by Deedpoll because I just can't see any way around it. I completely understand people that were disappointed, and you know, I'm not saying that we should always be uber positive like I am, but I just shrugged and I went, oh well, you know, that's Arsenal. That's what we are at the moment, you know. And if we get the job done and we end up in the semis or the final, nobody will remember that game. So, and Alex Herb had a lovely Burger King, didn't he, after the game? So that's what's important. Food of champions. And they'd had a long rest. They'd had 3 months off, for God's sake. They were fresh.
I was going to come to that. Carl, I'll just get your thoughts first on the game. And then I'm gonna throw some things back at Chris to argue his point back.
I don't take the same stance as Chris. I was fucking pissed off because we should not have lost that game. Not at all. You know, we've lost 7 of the last 14, I think it is. That's shocking. That's absolutely shocking. And we should have beaten them comfortably. And I don't think anyone here can deny that. And yeah, you can say we're going to put them to bed tomorrow and whatever. There's no guarantees. We should have put them to bed against them at home, away, sorry. And we didn't do it. So there's no guarantees we're going to do it tomorrow. None at all. We played how we played last week. We're going to get beaten again. You never know what Arsenal's going to turn up. And that's what worries me. You don't know if Mustafi's going to have a Mustafi. You don't know if...
Oh, you know that.
you don't. And you just don't know whether Aubameyang is going to have one of these games where he just can't put the ball in the back of the net. You don't know if Iwobi's going to have one of these games where he just can't pass the ball to any other player. You know, there's the potential for that to happen. I'm angry. I am angry that we lost the game. And yeah, do you know what, Chris? I'm exactly like you. I was angry for the time, and then I was like, it's Arsenal. What the fuck? What am I getting angry for? They don't care about me. Like, so what am I getting angry for? But I think we should have won that game. It's just ridiculous how it's either the mentality of we think we can just turn up and win, or are we just not good enough to beat them? Now, right now, you'd have to say we're not good enough to beat them because technically we're not. They have beaten us. Like you, Chris, I do kind of expect us to win tomorrow. However, it's not guaranteed. And if we didn't win tomorrow, I would just shrug and be like, this is just typical Arsenal. It is, because the mentality of the club right now, you just don't know what's happening. And if we don't win tomorrow, we will blame everything under the sun. We'll blame the manager. We'll blame Ozil. We'll blame Aubameyang. We'll blame Lacazette for getting sent off. We'll blame... probably Hector Bellerin for getting injured. Do you know what I mean? We'll blame everything and just be very, very silly. The game should have been wrapped up. We should have beaten them and we should have been comfortable at home. Instead of now, we have to come out and that's your score. Now, when you've got a 1-0 lead, Chris, you're a manager, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to have 11 men behind the ball. Mm. When have you ever known Arsenal to be able to break down a team who sits back and defend?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think the tactics that we employ will be important. And I think something that a lot of people I do think have slightly overlooked is not having Laka available tomorrow is a real problem, because we are coming into the game one-dimensional. We're coming in, it's a Aubameyang or bust, isn't it? So that's a slight concern I have. Have we got the creativity to create the chances for him?
Do you mean like having the most creative player in?
That's the one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's busy. He's got a cold. Leave him alone. But yeah, I don't know. It's one of those games, though, isn't it? It as you said there, Carl, like it's Arsenal. Like if we turn up as we can, with the right attitude and the right application, it shouldn't matter what formation or what Barthez do, because we should comfortably put them away. End of story. And if we get, it's the cliche of all cliches, of course. But if you get the early goal, then I think the rest is going to be fairly straightforward. But like you say, if it is one of those games where there's 15, 20 to go and it's 0-0, there will be a few people looking slightly anxiously at their mate and going, is it going to be another one of them? So I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, John? I mean, what's your overriding thoughts on it? And feel free to throw anything at me. I'll do my best.
Well, I mean, the thing about the pitch, I think, is overplayed, to be honest, because both teams had to play on it, to be perfectly honest. It's not like Barthez were playing on a different pitch and Arsenal were playing on a separate one. Yes, Man City are a better team and everything else at the moment, but they played on a pretty horrible pitch against Newport and, you know, managed to go and get the job done. Yes, you know, they're doing better and they have better players. No one's denying that. But I think that excuse is kind of pathetic. We played against a team that hasn't played for like over 2 months. They have a 37-year-old Alexander Klebb, who at no point in that entire game, and even but somehow managed to do like 50 minutes, I don't think I saw him run once. And it wasn't like when he was at Arsenal where you think, I don't think he's running, but he's actually moving quite quickly. I mean, he walked the entire match. You know, they basically played with 10 men. Half of their team is 30 or over. You know, this is, and I hate being disrespectful to other clubs, but this genuinely is a team of, you know, they're not semi-pros, but compared to the level of players that we had out on the pitch, it's kind of ridiculous. You know, you've got Cech, Koscielny, Monreal, Xhaka and Guendouzi in midfield, and Lacazette up front, you've got Iwobi, Mkhitaryan. You know, we brought on, what, Torreira, Denis Suarez and Aubameyang. You know, we're bringing on internationals. We've got young internationals in the team against, I mean, is this the Belarusian like national team? Maybe half of them. Honestly, it was the worst performance I've seen for so long by an Arsenal team. And it's not like, I get your point when you say, you know, Man City lost to Wigan and things like that. I do think that is different. I honestly think championship teams would probably beat Barthez quite a lot of the time from what I saw. I mean, they half of the team couldn't pass the ball or run with it. It was really embarrassing. And I know, yes, they've beaten Bayern Munich and stuff in the past, but they're games that are nothing, that results that don't actually mean anything. And this is a, you know, this is a game where, right, if we'd come away 0-0, I'd still be annoyed, but at least we hadn't conceded a goal. Mm. And we conceded the most basic, like literally their only chance, set piece, and Kolasinac just goes, I'll just let my man walk 2 yards and jump for the ball and I won't even bother challenging him. It's so lazy basics. And then the fact that our entire tactic the whole game is give the ball to Kolasinac and try and get a pullback. That's it. Like, we didn't have anything else.
I'm not saying that it was good. You know, I completely agree with you. It was a really poor performance. We got what we deserved, which was, well, actually, that's probably slightly unfair. I think we probably created enough to have at least taken a draw. Whether we deserved it or not, I'm not so sure. But it was just this. The thing that I have this issue with a lot of our fans, and I don't know whether this exists with other clubs. I'm sure it does, but we sort of obviously see it more because we follow other Arsenal fans. But it's just this entitled nature that we have now. I don't ever remember growing up supporting the club, you know, other than maybe during the Invincibles period where we had a, you know, to be honest, a bit of a right to expect to turn up and win games because we were that good. I don't understand where this is, this sort of entitlement, you know, these people that are sort of tweeting and saying, oh, you know, we should be beating teams like this. And well, why? You know, we're not very good ourselves. You know,
I do think that with the players that Emery's got at his disposal, you should be beating a team like Barca. If we were playing, and this will annoy some people, if we were playing Wolves or Watford or someone like that, I wouldn't go into the game expecting to win it. I'd be like, I genuinely don't know what the result is going to be, because I agree. I think we are a Europa League team. I think we're one of the better ones. We're not a Champions League team. You know, if we had to play, I mean, I watched the games last night and from last week as well. If we had to play Barca or Liverpool or anything, and the performances they put in, and they were not at their best last night, you know, Lyon as well, I throw in there, we'd get destroyed. You know, they're so far above us technically, and the speed they play at and everything else at the moment, it's kind of sad to watch. But that's just the life of a football fan. All clubs go through these transition periods. You know, I remember watching awful Arsenal teams under George Graham before Arsenal came in. Also remember title winning ones as well. So, you know, you go up and down with your expectations. But I don't think it's unfair to expect that, you know, to play against a team that hasn't played a competitive match in that long. Yes, the pitch is a bit, you know, it's a bit bobbly and that's annoying and stuff, but you've only got one tactic. And I know lots of people were saying, oh, if only we had Ozil or he was on the bench or something and he could have come on. I mean, I know people hate Iwobi, but just look at the number of assists and goals he's already got this season. It's not like he couldn't have done anything. It's not like Xhaka couldn't have done anything. You know, Mkhitaryan as well was back. I know he's back from injury, but he's still a very creative, very good player. And to be honest, he's one of those kind of players who flatters to deceive a little bit. And this is the sort of opposition he should be taking apart. The fact that Emery just didn't seem to have any other plan or instructions to the players really was the worry for me. I agree. I expect us, and again, this is entitled, but I expect us to win tomorrow. We are good enough to win tomorrow's game. I do think losing Lacazette is a problem, because I think Aubameyang is, as good as he is, and he's a fantastic striker, he is very one-dimensional in the fact that he uses pace to get in behind, which is going to be very difficult when, let's be honest, their entire team is going to be camped on their 18-yard box. And so they should be. You know, I don't expect them to come and play any other way. I wouldn't if I was their manager. That's what I'd do.
Does this side remind you of, I'll ask you both this, really, because it's just come into my mind, but you mentioned then about the Graham and early Wenger era. This is nothing... This is not a knock at Emery, because again, you have to look at what he's working with. But do you remember the latter days of George Graham? This squad reminds me a little bit of that. Do you know what I mean? Where you've got like if I said to you, I'm going to take out, let's just say for argument's sake, Nketiah is a poor example, but I'll explain why in a minute. Nketiah, Iwobi, and Mustafi, and I'll replace them with Glenn Helder, Chris Kiwomia, and Andy Linegan.
Yeah,
there wouldn't be a huge amount of difference. Do you know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean. Like that we had some talented players, at the club, but the overall sort of the balance of the squad was wrong.
Was arse about face. Yeah, you had Bergkamp in that squad. You had Ian Wright in that squad, but you also had Hillier, Scott Marshall, and do you know what I mean? And I know it's a different era. I know it's 20 years ago, but it does remind you, like, tomorrow's game sort of reminds me a bit of a 1-0 scrappy home win against Nottingham Forest in 1995, if that's what we get. Do you know what I mean? It almost has that feel. And it's almost why, I know this is a whole lot of debate, probably for another podcast, but when people say, you know, well, we'll judge the manager in May, I don't think you could judge the manager at any point in this first season. Because as was the case with Arsene, none of us really know what's going on at the club. None of us really know, you know, what he's being allowed to do, what he's not being allowed to do. I think if he had his own set of players, I don't think there'd be many more than five or six of the current squad, not 11. I think tactically, though,
he could change. He can do things differently.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think he, even at PSG, I think he sort of admitted to that, because he changed systems towards the end and it paid dividends. So I do agree with that. I think he's worried about the imbalance of our squad compared to what he could have. And I do agree. I think with different players, we would probably play a different way. And I know that people are worried about our quote-unquote identity. And I get that. I really do. But come on, I don't think we're playing like Mourinho's United. Do you know what I mean? I don't think we're brilliant.
The thing is, Mourinho's United had an identity. It was miserable. But you knew what they were going to play.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're that bad. I just think that we've got some pretty bad players. And that's what makes, I think if we were, somebody said on the podcast this week, I think it might have been for a week, I can't remember. They said that the mentality, if you're winning games, nobody mentions how you're playing. Nobody says a thing. It's when you start drawing the odd few games and losing a few games, and then people start going, oh, we haven't got our identity. You know, Man United fans were all bitching about Mourinho. They weren't bitching when they were on the run to the Europa League final and all that, were they? But as soon as they started losing a few games, then it got boring. You know, suddenly it's all wrong. Solskjaer's come in and albeit has made them all smile and clearly has a bit about him, but he hasn't done that much different, you know, other than let players express themselves. So there's a real imbalance, I think, with fans in what they think they're entitled to and what they see go on, you know, game after game. If you really don't like it that much, I wouldn't go. I just wouldn't. Turn the telly off, you know, or just follow the results if it's that miserable.
That's the dilemma of a football fan, though, is that you can't turn it off, can you? Because you're a football fan, so you're going to just support the club regardless, but you're still going to moan about it.
Yeah, I suppose that's what we do.
Every supporter wants their team to win every game. So they kind of are entitled. They always think, oh yeah, we can get a result here today. Because if you thought you was always going to lose, you wouldn't go to a football game.
No, of course.
Because it'd just be boring and, you know, you'd be miserable all the time. So I kind of think that, yeah, as football fans as a whole, and maybe more so as Arsenal fans, yeah, we do want to win games, and we kind of think, you know, our players are better than those players. You know, just sometimes we go into games and we think, like, we're playing Man City away or something like that. We think, oh shit, like, yeah, we all know we're not going to beat Man City away with our current squad. I'm not saying it's going to happen because we have, but if we was playing them at home, you'd think, oh man, we could snatch a draw here. You just never know. Just go back to what you were saying, Chris. During our 22 game unbeaten run, I think it was 20, yeah, there were still rumblings within the Arsenal fan base, or we're nicking a result here. What's our identity?
We're being. And so, me and Jason did say a couple of times about the performances, saying we're not playing nice football.
Yeah, it was very lucky. You know, we still had that problem where we just couldn't score in the first half, and we changed the system in the second half and managed to, you know, always come back in the second half, which is very, very good or lucky, however you want to picture it. But at the same time, like John just said, we never ever still had a quote unquote identity. There was something wrong with our performances, even during the run. If that makes sense.
What is, if I said to you, what identity would you like us to have? What would you want? Because that's the other thing that I often find interesting. People are very quick to say we don't have an identity, and to a degree I can see where they're coming from. I'm not completely blind, just partially. But people say you got identity, and I think to myself, how many clubs really have an identity as such? I mean, like,
I think if you look at the top teams in the league, they have a clear style of playing, whether it's successful for them or not. I mean, Man City have an identity. They don't necessarily have a formation as such always, but they have
speed of movement,
the transition, that kind of thing. Liverpool and Tottenham, both with their pressing, the way they do their high press and try to counter quickly. Yeah. I mean, okay, we're sadly concentrating on the Scousers. You look at Chelsea. I hate the term sorry ball because it's not one he coined. It's a social media term. But it is a style of playing. All right, for them, it's not working. But it is a style of play, and it's clear identity of playing. Chelsea fans hate it because they can predict every substitution he makes at the moment, almost the time he makes it as well. For the record, just to annoy anyone listening, I would still have Sarri over Emery, but there we go. That's another argument, just to piss people off. But no, I don't care the style of football necessarily, but I would like an identity. You know, if someone said to me, we're going to play Simeone football, like peak Simeone football, that would probably put a lot of people off, but I would know what I'm watching, what I'm going to expect from a game, and what, you know, if we get winning results, it's going to be like. Or if someone said, no, we're going to play Man City, you know, Barca Wenger style, you know, kind of that mashup of the possession, quick speed passing, that kind of thing, then you know what you're expecting. Same with the high press Dortmund Klopp, you know, Liverpool kind of thing. I think that's what people were expecting under Emery, especially when he came in and had this whole thing about, or the club sort of perpetrated the idea of, you know, him coming in with the dossiers and clear plans on players and systems and style of play and everything. And it just seems to have all kind of gone out the window. We're all told about this wonderful pressing game, and two games into the season, it had just gone.
I think he realised he didn't have the players to do it. I think.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that if you haven't got the squad to do it, but then you've got to be able to do something, and there's got to be something more than just Kolasinac over the on the overlap.
Hmm.
And don't get me wrong, it does work sometimes, but at some point you've got to have something else in a game.
So if we had, because I think everybody, the one game everyone harks back to, particularly about Meza, ironically, is the Leicester game, where we, you know, where all of that was in evidence, pressing, speed, movement, the lot. Probably weren't the last time we had our strongest 11 out. In truth, if somebody said to you, okay, you know, you can have almost what I'd call the Solskjaer effect, where, and I'm not, you know, sort of slagging Solskjaer off, because I think he's got a bit more about him than just, you know, people making people smile, but I also don't think he's really been tested properly other than the game that PSG where he got completely outthought. But if you've got a manager who comes in and says, right, okay, do you know what, we are going to go for style over substance here, and we finish eighth but we play some lovely stuff, do you not think our fan base would just be just as bad as they are now? Whereas as we speak right now, we're, 3 points out of a top four race, albeit not particularly playing well. But if you somehow scramble into the Champions League this season, you know, our budget goes three times up in the summer. And suddenly you're able to bring in, not a whole new squad, but you're able to bring in really quality players. Yeah. So do you think maybe that there's a bit of a...
I'd accept that, but I think the fact is, if we miss Champions League and we finish fifth, personally as a fan, you know, we don't win the Europa League or whatever. If we miss the Champions League in whichever way we miss it, then I think I'd actually rather just finish eighth and play nice football, because at least it's entertaining. Because to be honest, finishing fifth and finishing eighth to me is the same.
And what's more likely, win the Europa League or finish fourth? Because I'm not personally sure. I think the Europa League is a far more closed opportunity this year than it was last.
I think last year
was the one, wasn't it? You know, yeah. Atletico, I thought over the two legs, I actually thought we probably did enough to go through. And I think we would have pasted the floor with Marseille had we got through them or through to the final. But we got unlucky with that draw, didn't we? And the chances we missed.
Because Johnny era, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and there's a lot of good size in there this year, isn't there? As well, that's
yeah.
You know, I think
every year it's got significantly harder. To be fair, in the lockout, and Emery said that today in his press conference. So, yeah, but we'll come on to top four. But that's kind of the Barthe thing. Last bit on the preview. So you both think Ozil is going to start tomorrow? Yeah,
I do. I think
so.
To prove, I think. Yeah. And I think it is going to Emery to be like, well, you know, you wanted to start, you wanted to show the fans how good you are. Here you go. Here's your chance.
It's almost the perfect thing for Emery, isn't it? It's almost the perfect way.
Hang yourself or prove me wrong. Yeah,
exactly.
And I get a performance.
If he goes out there and does fuck all, then Emery can go, well, look, you know, I gave him the chance and I didn't think he performed. And if he goes out there and wins the game for us, then he can say, this is the Mesut I wanted. And if he does that every week, he'll be in my team. You know, so it's no win. It's no lose for the manager, isn't it? It's win-win.
Yeah. Fair enough. I still don't think he's going to start the game, but I could see him back on the bench and maybe come on and try and rescue it. And for what it's worth, I'm not an Ozil fanboy, and I'm honestly, I can't wait till he leaves, to be perfectly honest. I'm kind of tired of it now. But I think it would be more sensible to start him, because they're going to be so deep, so you're going to need your best players. And obviously that's on him to put the performance in, but if he does play, he's certainly our best chance of picking a hole in that. But I'd just go balls out tomorrow. I'd have Ramsey, Ozil, Mkhitaryan, Iwobi, and Bamiyang, isn't it? Yeah.
And Andy Lineker.
And it'd be Dave Hillier, wouldn't it? Next to Ramsey in midfield.
David Hillier's suitcase. I just think
that's the best approach. And I think that's when we've had those players out on the pitch, or if it's been two up front, we've got our best performances. Because I think I liked Emery's approach at the start of the season of, oh, we can't defend. Okay, we'll just have to outscore the opposition. Mm. That was at least a little bit exciting, if not so good for your ticker.
I think you're right. I think we'll have enough tomorrow. Yeah. I do. I think I will probably be a bit concerned if we get to the break at 0-0. I'll say that much. I do think we need to change the course of the game, and I think scoring early is what's needed if we can do that.
I think if we get one, then they probably start to crumble. If we go 2-0 up, then I think they'll fall apart, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, yeah. I think, like Chris said, the old cliche, we have to get a goal within the first 20 minutes.
Mm.
Yeah. I was going to ask one more question on Bartey, but I've just realised it's sort of in the FICE forum section. So we'll come to that then. Danny is going to be amazing now, and he's going to predict that I'm going to ask for questions to be put in the chat box. So obviously Danny's not actually here, listens, he's behind all the buttons.
It's just a mirage.
Yeah, so how quick do you think he'll do it?
It depends if he's shoveling his face. Oh, no, there he goes.
Look at that. That is amazing. Well done,
Incredible.
Danny.
Incredible.
So we've got a few questions from the listeners that we'll go through, and then we'll get through FICE forms. So yeah, it's not as long podcast this week, people, which is nice. I know last one I was on as well was about an hour and a half. It's quite impressive, isn't it? Also, sorry, side note, watching Atletico Juventus, have no idea Atletico haven't been given two penalties so far. This is amazing. Absolutely genius.
I just saw that. Well, I was watching the Diego Costa one. Yeah. Penny, to be honest, but
and it was also really nice of Schalke to give Man City their opening goal as well. That was really nice of them.
Oh, I didn't see that one, but I saw Aguero's name pop up. No,
well. Good God, Farman literally passed it. Oh, it's awful. Anyway,
right. So, a few questions here. We'll do these, and then we'll jump onto FICE forum. So, first question is from, as always, the excellent Noir Confidential. The Oscars are being given out this week. So what has been the best individual performance by an Arsenal player this season? Oh, that is a tough one. Have either of you got one straight off the top of your head, or do you need a bit of time to think?
Mesut against Leicester.
I was going to say that as well.
Until you finished the question, I was going to say Ryan Keeley and Mills do it best, but then I changed quickly. I mean, that's the one, isn't it, that jumps to mind. Lacazette against Cardiff, maybe. Maybe not.
Torreira against Tottenham.
That's a good shout, actually, yeah. I can't think of many.
That would be my one, I think, Torreira against Tottenham, because he was immense that day. He was
I can't think of any others. I seem to remember Leno having quite a good game against someone, but I can't remember who that was. Mm. I think they're probably the standout ones, yeah.
Did we get a draw with Liverpool this season or a wild game?
Yeah, at home with the black goal.
In that case, just to really upset people, because I remember it distinctly in this game, I'm going to give it to Xhaka in that game, because there is one bit where he chases down Mo Salah and beats him in a foot race and wins a slide tackle. And everyone says Xhaka's slow. So, yeah, just stick that one in your pipe.
I do remember that. Yeah, that was fun.
I nearly fell out of my chair when I saw that.
So did he.
But yeah, no, it's funny that we all sort of went, oh yeah, that Mesut game, he's pretty good in that one. Mm. Actually, the other one I would give a shout for, and we'll chuck loads out now, the Ramsey one against Fulham, where we had Aubameyang and Laka up top, and we played the diamond sort of for the first one.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Yeah, just finding this. I think that was, as much as it was Ramsey, that was actually
Given a penalty.
One of the genius tactical bits of Mr. Emery's season so far.
Ramsey against Tottenham as well.
Yeah,
Schalke have just been given the most ridiculous penalty you are ever going to see. and it took VAR, it took literally, I think it was about 4 minutes. And at one point, David Silva's obviously in the referee's ear saying something, and the referee gives the campest, "Will you just let me listen?" as he's got his hand to his ear. It's brilliant. You have to see it. Anyway, sorry.
Oh, dear. Right, next question from Fred. It strikes me that the manager
Man United
is safe.
Player.
Apparently so. Well, he's not playing on the pitch, so he's asking questions now. It strikes me that the manager is safety first, but the foundations aren't there. To help him, I think we need two or three new coaches. Do you think we should invest some of the transfer budget into coaches, or is a squad overhaul more important? Chris, you can have that one.
Didn't we already do that? That would be my initial thought to that. Didn't we already get in the new coaching staff? We've got a new goalkeeping coach, haven't we? We've got, I think, the work Carcedo does is lauded. I think he's been a really positive influence, unless he means the sort of bring back Martin Keown type of coach, maybe where you've got a specialist coach for individual. I wouldn't be against that, to be fair. But then I guess at the same time, I do think if you've got, because obviously the first thing that jumps to mind there is defensive improvement or defensive coach. If you've got better defenders, we probably don't need a coach. You know what I mean? If you've got someone like Koulibaly or Manolas or somebody who's a top level central defender, you probably make the rest of the defenders better. So, yeah, but I wouldn't be against it. But I mean, I don't know as much of I was going to say gimp. That's completely the wrong word. that's the word I was meant to go for. Geek, yeah, not gimp at all. Mine's gone in the gutter there. As much the geek of football I am, I couldn't list you as many coaches as I could League 2 or League 2 players. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I can't think of high profile coaches.
I can't remember what club it is, but I know they've got a throw-in coach now.
But Liverpool.
Is it Liverpool? Yeah, they got him specialist, from...
Yeah, somebody Klopp worked with, wasn't it? Which I think that's probably going a bit far.
What?
Yeah.
Schalke level, by the way. I wouldn't be against the idea of a new sporting director, though, John. Somebody maybe working at Roma at the moment, perhaps. That might be an idea.
There goes our budget. You can see Carl's reaction to a throwing coach anyway, Fred.
Yeah. What the fuck? They really do, genuinely. I think he worked in, was it Norway or somewhere, wasn't it? And Klopp got to
something
know him
like that. Yeah,
it's all about marginal gains and all that bollocks.
Yeah, it was one of Chris's favorite like stats type things.
Yeah,
that he enjoys so much. I think the guy might be an XG expert as well.
he might also have a very small penis and lots of time on his hands, just allegedly. Dear. But that might just be me. I don't know.
Grand to be a throwing coach, I'd love it.
Pay me $5,000, I'd do that, mate. No problem.
Throw the ball to some one of your team members who's wearing the same shirt.
Be fair, we probably would struggle with that at times. I've seen us give away a foul throw in a few times, but yeah.
Corner coach, that's what I'd invest in.
Oh,
I was going to say, they shouldn't let, if you saw the training video from today on Arsenal,
yes,
they shouldn't let Emery take the corners, I can tell you that. He can't beat the first man either.
No.
Oh, dear. Right. Mark Blondell asks, if Emery's current approach to Ozil makes him perform as we know he can for the remainder of the season, has it been worth it for his absence so far this season, Carl?
That's a hard question.
Good luck.
No, if he's going to perform like we know he can, it's all dependent on what Messi? Fucking hell, sorry. I know. What Ozil turns up, the players around him. Because remember, Ozil was only as good as the players around him. He can give you brilliant passes all game, but if no one's going to put the ball in the back of the net, what's the point? I remember two or three seasons ago when he was giving Giroud balls on a plate and Giroud just couldn't put anything into the back of the net. And, you know, I think he had something like 24 key passes or whatever you want to call them before January or something like that. And we just couldn't score. So I would love Mesut Ozil to come out tomorrow on the pitch and have three assists in the first 20 minutes and just run past Emre and stick his finger up and say, I told you. Play me, you know, it's very unlikely that's going to happen, just to be honest. But you know, I'd love it to happen, but I don't think, like I said, I think there's something more that's happened behind the scenes. I don't really go on to the Ozil thing again, but yeah, the only way for Ozil to prove that he's a brilliant player is to do it on the pitch. And if Emery gives him that chance, then yep, so be it.
Do you know what I would do tomorrow? Just a side note on that, you just made me think of something. Do you remember when we got the best out of Santi Cazorla before all of his injuries when he played slightly deeper? I would do that tomorrow with that opposition because I think that would throw them out of kilter. Because I think realistically, you should only need one out-and-out defensive midfielder for tomorrow's game. And I'd be very tempted to play that sort of diamond system. And I would say to Mesut, all I want you to do, this is obviously assuming he plays, I would just say to him, I want you to sort of sit deeper and find those through balls. Because we know Aubameyang will get past defenders pace-wise. We know that he's got the ability to finish, you know, 9 times out of 10. And then that way you free up the Kolasinac mode on the left. And you also free up the option of somebody coming in from the right, Mkhitaryan. So I wouldn't be against saying to Mesut, I don't want you to tackle, but I don't want you to play as an out-and-out 10. I want to play you as more of a sort of an 8.5. Just pull the strings, and because I do think he's capable of a good second assist. That's one thing people forget about Mesut. He's not just a final ball giver. He's He's very much like Dennis was in his heyday. He can find that pass that gets a move going.
Can I ask a cheeky question then to both of you, and we do it really quickly? What's your team for tomorrow?
We're all agreed on Czech, I presume. I think we'll probably go. I think we'll go to a back four because we're at home. I think Monreal.
I mean, are we doing what our team would be or what Emery's team will be?
Probably Emery's. I think Kolasinac will play in midfield tomorrow, for the record.
Oh, you think he'll go 4-4-2 again?
Yeah, I think he'll put Monreal.
Well, not two, but yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll put Monreal one side. I think he'll put Maitland-Niles the other. And I think he'll put Koscielny and Mustafi. And then I think Iwobi, Mkhitaryan, Ozil, is Xhaka fit, I suppose?
I think Xhaka's back, yeah.
Kolasinac and then Aubameyang up front.
So I think probably that lineup, but I think Ramsey...
Given another penalty to Schalke? He's given Schalke another penalty.
Oh, wow. I think Ramsey will be the other the man up front over Ozil.
Do you think he'll start Ramsey?
I think he'll start him, yeah.
Yeah. I probably would, actually. I think energy-wise, I think Ramsey's the right player to start.
Yeah, I just think that's when you need a result and you need a bit of like the game to go quicker, he tries to speed things up, even if it
moves the ball quicker.
Even if it doesn't quite come off. But yeah, I do like your idea earlier though, Chris, of the sort of one DM. Although to be honest, I'd just play Xhaka. I wouldn't even play a DM.
And there's no way I don't think there's any way he's not playing Guendouzi either. So you've got to fit him in somewhere as well.
See, for me, I wouldn't play Guendouzi tomorrow.
I suppose it depends. I think if we got three at the back, I would. But I think in a four, maybe you're right. Maybe we don't.
Yeah.
And what's the next game? Is it home?
It's
isn't
Southampton.
It?
Southampton.
Yeah. So you sort of. I'm not really a fan of looking ahead to other games. I think you get what you've got out in front. Done first, but
he has to get the result tomorrow, don't he? So
yeah,
have to go balls out for it. Yeah, so yeah, interesting question. Next one from Nikki Wilson. David Ornstein said Ramsey told Arsenal 2 years ago he plans to run down his contract and move abroad and would not sign or move then. Should we have given him the Ozil treatment back then and tried to force him out because it seems Arsenal are getting grief either way? So this Ornstein quote, if you look on his Twitter account and you click on the tweets and reply section, you will see that Mr. Ornstein has replied to a few people who have quoted him on this. Shout for two up. You will see that actually he has been misquoted many, many times on this. And that actually on the, is it Five Live he was on, I think?
Yeah.
He said some people at Arsenal told him they fought that Ramsey was not going to sign his contract 2 years ago. So he never said that Ramsey told Arsenal that. He never said that was an official quote. He said that a few people at Arsenal and not Arsenal, the club. So maybe a coach or someone who works there or whatever, said that they had got the impression that he wasn't going to sign. So first of all, I would say it's not a direct quote. That's not Nicky Wilson's fault. That's idiots on Twitter retweeting things without actually checking them up. As for the Ozil treatment, I think Ozil's treatment hasn't got anything to do with his contract. It's more down to the fact he's been playing. And as for the Ramsey thing, I mean, I don't want to get back into it all again because every time me and Jace are on, we sit here and cry about it all the time. And I know Chris gets fed up with that as well.
not from you, because you love him, but it's more the same things. Yeah. But the only thing I would say on the Ramsey thing is if he... whether I or anyone else rates or doesn't rate him, if he made it clear he wanted to go,
then the club should have tried everything to save.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's the club that's failed. But that said, at the same time, you can't force a player to play.
No,
this is always my argument when people said, oh, why didn't we sell him for 50 million? Well, maybe we didn't get any concrete bids that were worthy of the player value at that time. And more importantly, maybe, you know, the one I hear all the time is, well, Man United offered us 50 million. Maybe Aaron Ramsey didn't want to play for Man United.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, that might have been I think the Man United offer was genuine, but I think by that point in his career, Ramsey's played at Arsenal so long that he probably didn't want to play for another Premier League
team. Would you
want
to play for Mourinho? I mean,
especially that's the other thing as well. It's Mourinho. And when you hear that Juventus are sniffing round, you say to yourself, well, I've got a year left. Maybe the club will come back in and offer me a contract.
Yeah.
I'll stay at Arsenal, which I still think he probably would have done if an offer had come in for the right amount. But in the end, you know, he's going, look, I'm sad about it. Jace is very sad about it, obviously.
I don't doubt his, because I know people do give me a lot of shit for this. I don't doubt his quality apps at all. I think he's a very, very high level quality central midfielder. I don't personally think he's in the elite. I said that all along. I'll stick by it. I'd be a hypocrite if I said otherwise. And I do hope that he does well at Juventus. I just think that, unfortunately, I don't blame him. I think he liked the idea of playing abroad, and that's absolutely fine. And I think his agent did everything he could to make that dream happen for him. And I don't blame that.
I don't blame him. Or, yeah, I don't begrudge him or anything like that.
It's
I think
just the way it was done, isn't it?
Yeah. That, and that's the Ramsey one is not the only instance of that. Let's be honest.
God,
the club has messed up so many contracts down here. So,
yeah.
I don't think treating him the way necessarily that Urs has been treated is the same part. And the difference is, you look at Ramsey, he goes out, he's professional when he puts the performances in.
Yeah, oh God, you can't. Nobody can criticise him for that. And I think, like you said, if we'd have offered him the sort of money that we offered before we took it off the table, if we'd have made him that offer a year ago, he probably would have signed it.
I think he probably would have signed, and you know, maybe he would be captain or whatever else. But
yeah.
But it's by the by now. It's gone, isn't it? So
yeah.
He'll hopefully puts in the performances, and like I said on last time I was on, hopefully he scores us the winner in the Europa League final or something like that as a nice farewell. That'd be good. Right.
Just the winner tomorrow would do for the
time. That'd do as well, actually. Yeah, I'll take that. This one is directed at you, Chris, from Noir Confidential. Do you think we'll go back in for Nkunku in the summer? Noir, we're not allowed to because Danny can't say that. Or does it depend on us qualifying for the Champions League? For example, will we target someone better if we manage to do so? Ooh.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Well, first thing to say is he's currently playing tonight for PSG. He's in their midfield. So good to see him getting some game time. Do I think we'll go back in for him? Yes. Do I think it has an effect based upon whether we're in the Champions League or not? No. Because he's the sort of player that he wants football. He's of an age that he'll improve. He'll improve our squad, but I actually think he would improve our starting 11. I think he's good enough to get in it, particularly in one of those wide roles. Not playing as an orthodox winger, if you like, but playing as a wide forward, I think he'd be fine. He's affordable, which we all know Arsenal love. And more importantly than all of that, I don't think his current club would stand in his way, which is obviously the biggest sticking point when you try and sign any player. I think he'd be fine in terms of playing in the Europa League, because you know he's playing for PSG tonight in a meaningless game against Montpellier when they're resting a lot of players. So that sort of says it all, doesn't it? So yeah, I do think we'll go back in. I don't think the Champions League will affect it. The only thing I think might affect it is whether there are other players available that Emery might look at and think, actually, we could go for. But no, I'd be all for it. We're scouting heavily in France at the moment, and without going into too much detail, because it's not sort of official yet, but we've got first dibs on a few young players in France this summer. So it'd be interesting to see if we do persevere with that based upon what we got with Guendouzi. I'd like to see us, you know, if we can't buy these top end players, we've got to build for the future. So get them in.
What position? I don't even know what position Nkunku plays. Sorry,
he's an attacking midfielder. He's kind of your box to box player. He can play wide, right, or left.
Yeah.
A lot of people said in the transfer window, oh yeah, he's brilliant because he can cover at fullback. No, he can't. he played at fullback very briefly in his youth career. He's not a fullback. He's an all action box to box wide midfielder.
Although we do know Emery doesn't mind putting an attacking mid at fullback because he did do it with Iwobi.
True. True that.
Which was interesting. Right, last one. Carl, you can have this. Actually, we can all have a go on this one. Josh Robinson, 87. Which three positions do we need to give priority to in the summer and why? Go on, Carl, you can go first.
Centre-back. The shit of defending. That covers it. Centre-back. So we do goalkeeper and right-back.
Very good. Okay. Chris, have any difference on that?
So I'm just going to say this. Well, don't look in the fannies group. Okay. Just don't. Sorry, just refresh me briefly because that's totally thrown me. Sorry.
Which three positions do we need to? Oh my God.
Yes.
I just looked.
Yeah. Good grief.
Sorry, we should clarify. That's not a group with pictures of just fannies. All the people in it call each other fannies. So,
yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Apologies, especially, lady listeners.
Especially the Aussies, the biggest fanny of all. Yeah. So basically, which three positions should we be focusing on? With Carl, centre back has got to be the priority. Strangely, I think goalkeeper is quite an important thing to look at this summer as well now, suddenly, because I'm in the camp that says if we can get somebody better than Leno, I think we should. Just going to put that out there. I'm not saying Leno's not been good. I think overall, he's been exactly what we expected. Not particularly brilliant on crosses, a little bit flappy, makes some very good saves, is good on the ball. I think that's what we knew we were signing for the money we paid. But yeah, if there was somebody available of a higher level, who might happen to play at PSG at the moment, for example, I would go and get him. So, yeah. And I don't mean Buffon, by the way.
That would be
lovely, though, wouldn't it?
No, I've lost all love for Buffon the moment he left Juve. Just retire.
57-year-old Buffon in goal at the Emirates. It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it?
I agree. Centre-back. As you think, we need a left-back.
Yeah, that's a good point. And a right-back. And suddenly there's a long list, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, I think centre-back and left-back are the two biggest ones. Who is it who's out at Reading? Is it Emi Martinez?
Emi Martinez, yeah.
Apparently he's doing quite well.
He's done really well.
Performance the other day. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's difficult to say whether he's going to come back or he's going to leave or whatever.
He's got offers to play every week, doesn't he? I think he's got three clubs in Spain. So.
There's a young Polish keeper we've looked at from Legia, I think.
Yes, yeah, Steve was talking about him, wasn't he?
Yeah, but much vaunted, and as we lost two very good Polish ones, maybe we can get a third and manage to keep this one.
Apparently the lad Iliev isn't bad either, the young chap.
Oh, yeah, the young guy.
I don't know whether we would be willing. I think it's a bit risky, though, at this level. I think you need to, you know, you look at what United have got with Romero. I think it's probably only Liverpool that haven't got a very decent... Actually, Man City haven't got a brilliant backup, have they, with Bravo injured, but...
United have got the best second-choice keeper.
Yeah. I mean,
Romero is brilliant. It's amazing how little football he plays and still plays international. It's very odd. I do think, actually, centre-mid as well might be more of a problem than people realise.
So, basically, we're saying the whole squad in every position
I mean, it's not every... It depends on who goes and stuff, doesn't it? But yeah, and also how many people get promoted from the youth academy. You know, Joe Willock,
who's
been talked about a lot.
Maitland-Niles
maybe gets into the middle and doesn't have to cover at fullback all the time, gets more of a run there, or wide.
Yeah.
Certainly got the pace. Obviously, Nelson coming back as well. Yeah, so...
I think, actually, now you mention it, the more I think about it, the more I think you're right. I think right-back, as much as left-back, is going to be a priority, because at least at left-back, you've got Kolasinac, and if that's not working, you've got Monreal, both of a high level. At right-back, you've got Bellerin, and, you know, brilliant to see Hector starting his road to recovery. Make no mistake, you know, he's 8 months easily. Yeah. Before he's anywhere near back to his best. So, and don't forget, we're probably going to lose Welbeck in the summer. Yep. We've got Holding again. He's going to be 6 to 8 months before he's back at full tilt. You know, there's a lot of work to be done, isn't there, suddenly? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all our questions from listeners this week. Thank you for all of those. I'm sure there were some more, but we haven't got time to put them all in. But we are now going on to, and this is a bit where Chris is going to be smart and remember that he's doing the next section,
because
it's time for Park Five. It's Fives Forum, so take it away, Chris.
It's Fives Forum, right? Okay, so let me just do a quick refresh, because I'm sure we've had more answers come in since I last did. So Fives Forum this week was, if we don't get past Partey, which we will, I'm sure, don't worry everyone, it'll be fine, is our season virtually over, or can we still beat Spurs to fourth? I'm not sure if Spurs would be the right club to shove in there, but hey ho. Why has there been no responses to that? Have we not had any responses?
No, there are responses.
Are there?
See, listeners, this.
Oh, I've got them. I was looking at the tweet above there.
God.
So Noir Confidential says, I still think we could win the Europa League and get top four, but if we don't beat Partey, we can still get past Spurs, Manuel, and finish third. There's a lot of games left to play for. Getting knocked out of the Europa League might, in a way, help us focus our efforts on the Premier League. I don't really want to see us go out of the Premier League, but that's a fair point. Nicky Wilson has said, if we get humiliated by Partey, why would we want to go into the Champions League with this team? Haven't we suffered enough humiliation in Europe recently? It'd be like a snuff film, wouldn't it? I doubt Stan would give Emery the cash to build a Champions League team. That's probably a fair point. I wonder if the backing in the summer depends upon what we do or don't qualify for. Maybe that's a fair point.
See, Chris, if you, instead of looking at Twitter, if you looked in the chat box in the Google Hangouts, you'd see that Danny has posted everything in there.
Bless him. So he has. I didn't see that. I've seen it now. So Mark Blundell also says, no, we won't get above Spurs, but it doesn't mean we can't get fourth. And that's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah. So what about you, Chris? I know you think we're going to win tomorrow, which I do agree. I do think so as well. So
yeah.
If we don't, it's a big if. Do you still think we can get top four?
Yeah, I do. You won't be surprised to hear. Because I think we are. Excuse me. I still think top four is achievable. I'm still not convinced that the world is perfect at Man United. It'd be interesting to see what happens with them when they play Liverpool the weekend, actually. Never thought I'd ever say this, but I'll be supporting Man United that day. I still think there's a wreck in Spurs. Although, of course, we know that Harry P.E.D. Kane and Dele P.E.D. Ali will soon be back fighting fit. Bless them, allegedly. But I do think I think this Europa League thing is something I wouldn't say put all our eggs in one basket. But I do think it's something we have to be looking at. I'm just looking at results here. Lazio have gone out, John, tonight. I don't know if you knew that. Sevilla are doing it again. They've won 3-0 on aggregate, so they're through. But I'm just looking at the rest of the teams that are involved in the Europa League now. So I'll briefly whiz through these. Fenerbahce are one up on Zenit from the first leg. So that's really a toss-up. Zenit at home, second leg. Sevilla said a through. I've got ourselves and Barte. You've got Inter and Rapid Vienna. Expect Inter to screw that up tomorrow, I'm sure. But no, I'm pretty sure they'll get through that. Slavia Prague, Genk was 0-0. So either of those two could still make it through. Krasnodar and Leverkusen 0-0. You'd expect Leverkusen to come through that. Rennes and Betis 3-3 in France. As much as it pains me to say, I'd expect Betis to get through that second leg. Olympiakos, Kiev 2-2. I probably would favour Kiev in the home leg, second leg tomorrow. Galatasaray lost at home to Benfica in the first leg. I would expect Benfica to finish the job tomorrow with that one. Victoria Pilsen beat Zagreb 2-1. Neither of those two really worry me, but again, probably Zagreb at home, I would imagine. Bruges beat Salzburg 2-1. The home leg is Salzburg's tomorrow. It's a gimme, that one, I guess. Napoli, know what you're going to get. Yeah, they're through, aren't they, realistically? 3-1 for the first leg away, and they're going to be one to watch, I guess, in the tournament. Shakhtar 2-0 with Eintracht. I actually think Eintracht will get through that, and they're a decent side, by the way. Valencia 1-2-0 at Celtic. That's like kicking a blind man's stick away, so I think Valencia will get through there. And the last two, Chelsea, obviously 2-1 up against Malmo. Barring anything horrendous, you'd expect them to win at home. And Villarreal won in Portugal in the first leg against Sporting, and I think they'll come through the second leg. And they are again Villarreal, almost like the new Sevilla. They're terrible in the league, but they're pulling out the performances in the Europa League. So let me chuck it to Carl. Any of those worry you, Carl, if we're looking at the Europa League in particular?
Napoli, definitely. I think on their day, they'll be. To be honest, is that what we said earlier? On our day, we'll beat anyone. And on our day, we'll lose to absolutely anyone. So I think of those, the standout team is obviously Napoli. Even Chelsea, as much as it pains me, you know, yeah, we beat them 2-0 and we was happy with that. I think if they do get their act together, I think they have the potential to beat us, just like we have the potential to beat them as well. So
you wouldn't want to draw them, would you?
No, it's not a team that I'd once, you know, because I still takes me back to 2004, where we should have fucking killed them and we would have won the Champions League that year. I have no doubt about that, and we never. And the reason why we never was the reason why Mourinho's now is what he is, because if we had beaten Porto in the final, which I do think we would have, Mourinho would never be what he is today.
It's the two that worry me are the two Spanish sides there, the Betis and Sevilla, two sides. And it sounds ridiculous, doesn't it, saying that you'd be worried about Betis, for example, but they're really good at home. And Sevilla have got pedigree. That said, you wouldn't want to draw someone like Fenerbahce or Zenit, would you? And you wouldn't want to be going somewhere like
Galatasaray. I wouldn't want to play, as much as I hate, you know, how awful and up and down Inter Milan have been this season.
No, you wouldn't
particularly want to play them either, just because Politano will run and Kandreva will run into all the lovely space that Kolasinac leaves in behind.
Wander will sleep with half our team and cause a brick in the dressing room. And,
so that would be terrible. But as for finishing top four, I actually think we've got to win the Europa League. I don't think we'd do top four. I genuinely don't. I think United, I know they've got a run of tough games, but I think there's still enough cock-ups in our team, unfortunately, that we'll just miss out on fourth.
Isn't it funny how
United have just got the momentum? Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny how they're suddenly favourites above us and Chelsea all of a sudden, isn't it?
Yeah. And I also think that if Chelsea probably would still be challenging us for getting into that fourth spot if it wasn't for the fact their fans absolutely hate Sarri now. And it's hilarious as well because they've just got Higuain. So he's finally got a striker who makes the right movement for the play he wants to do. And Hazard's got someone to play off, and they're like, nope, they're done with him already. So,
did you see that video I retweeted from AFTV for Chelsea TV?
Yeah. They really hate him. When he took off Pedro and brought Willian on, and then he took off Azpilicueta and brought on Zappacosta. And they just went to the crowd and their face, it looked like Arsenal fans. It was like watching Arsenal fans when like Lacazette comes off and Iwobi comes on. And there were just boos everywhere. I was like, oh my God, it's not just us.
Did you see that picture somebody tweeted of Hudson-Odoi in the background?
Oh yeah, just giving him the dirty look.
Oh, it's so funny. If looks could kill, just, right. But you wouldn't want to draw them, basically,
no,
what we're saying.
No, just because, you just fear a ricket there.
So one out of three of us thinks we might get top four, and three out of three of us think we need to win the Europa League. So that's the overall thing on that.
But I do think we'll beat Barthez tomorrow.
Yeah. If we don't, even I'll be critical. There you go. You've had it here first.
Yeah. Well, you said you'd change your name earlier.
That's true.
As long as you don't tweet a Bath picture, it's fine.
No.
Right.
Or what Simon's put in that group.
Oh dear. I'm not even going to talk about that. Look, we were on fucking. We were going to be on time, and then we cocked it up at the end there.
Sorry.
So no, it's all right. It's my fault. I'll let you all go on. It's time for gentlemen's nods. So Carl, have you got a gentleman's nod? As of either of you, did you even think to get one ready?
No.
I'm going to do.
Okay, so go on then, Carl.
The last person that followed me, so let me go, and it is
nobody follows you, Carl. Don't make it up.
Racist bastard. the last person that followed me was Simpsons Arsenal. Okay. Michael was an Arsenal fan through the eyes of Simpson quotes. Okay.
That's cool. Oh,
that actually sounds quite good.
It's actually quite funny. That's why I was thinking there. Simpson's quotes or Simpson's Arsenal. That's go follow them. I'm going to follow them now.
Give us one. Just give us one. There's got to be one you can pull up.
There's one of Sarri, which is quite. Oh, God. I'd love to tweet all of these.
We've opened a box now.
But there's one. He goes, Torreira, whoa, Torreira, whoa. He comes from, you are a gay. I don't know if you've seen the episodes where he's
looking at the globe.
You are a gay. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Like that one.
Oh, God.
That's very good. I like that. Okay, so go check out that account, listeners. Chris, is your gentleman's nod to?
Two quickies because I just found two. One is The Walrus and the Hedgehog. Which I know you're a fan of, John. He's runs a restaurant. Is it in New York?
It's in Cali. Yeah.
Is it?
He lives. It's a big Hollywood lifestyle. Yeah.
Pasadena, California. My God, yes. Brilliant Instagram. We mentioned Instagram earlier on. Always tweets pictures of the food that his lovely restaurant creates. And I'm all for people who have a talent. So big shout out to them. And also Elaine Sharp at Sharp_ESHAR. I've only recently started speaking to her, but has always been regular conversationalist with me and has some good views and whatnot. So that's the other one that's worth a follow.
And I'm going to do my shout outs. Danny's going to quickly put in the box the gentleman's nods for this week, if he's remembered, or if there is any from the podcast account. He's probably desperately scrambling. Whilst he does that, I will just say, as always, ladies, my DMs are open. But my shout out this week is to our friend Lana, who had a bit of a tough week. So, you all know Lana at Cocolito. So, yeah, but she's great. Football, absolutely everything. If you offend her, she will definitely let you know, which is the best thing about Lana.
And no uncertain terms.
Yep.
And all comes from a good place.
And if there's a player she don't like, she'll definitely tell you about it. But yeah, she's a good follow. She knows her stuff. And she often gets little retweets as well from some of the big players as well. So you might get lucky. But that's it. There is no shout outs for the listeners. Listeners, you don't deserve one, apparently. Danny doesn't want to give you any gentleman's nods. Apparently it's because we didn't do a show. So you don't deserve one, apparently. So I'll give you one from the pod. Thank you to all the wonderful people who listen all the time and to all the people who join us live as well on the radio shows. But yeah, that's it. As I said earlier in the show, we will be doing the giveaway this weekend because I'm on the radio. So I'll make sure it actually happens because Danny's useless. I think Jason's on the radio with me and I don't know who else. Well,
that'll make a nice change.
Yeah, no, I don't speak to Jason very often. So
brothers
nice
in arms.
See how he's doing. I haven't spoken to him for at least 2 days, probably. but yeah, so join us after you... Oh, no, sorry, I'm not doing the Barte game. It's Danny and Josh tomorrow night, or today, if you're listening to this. Josh and maybe one other.
I might make a run in on that, by the way. You heard it here first. I can't actually remember the last time I did a radio show. It's probably like 1923. Unconfirmed at this stage, but I might be free to do a run-in on that one. So I'll speak to the fat man and see what we can sort out. I'll see if he can afford my fee, which is, as we know, huge.
Obviously. The ego costs a lot to pay, as we found out. Costs more than 20 quid.
I got more ego than Ramsey, trust me.
Internet bills are expensive.
Guys are not paying for themselves.
Chris may be on the radio show tomorrow. It's obviously a bit difficult for us listeners, and I'm sure it is for you because of the weird kickoff time, unless of course you live abroad and then it's wonderful for you. It's probably much easier for you than those horrible early kickoffs on a Saturday or a Sunday. Barte, and then we'll be back to Southampton, and then pod as usual next week. But that's it for us. So all that's left for me to say is thank you to my guests. So thank you, Chris, for coming on.
Pleasure. Yeah, no problem at all. Anytime that Danny pays my fee.
There we go. And thank you, Carl, for making sure your train was on time to get you here and not miss the fuss.
My train is always on time. The others I don't really care about, to be honest.
Absolutely. Any last words for a certain other member of the ABW group?
Yes. I'm not too sure if anyone knows, but I'm just going to say this also. Hashtag fuck Ellis.
There we go. We have been a Bergkamp Wonderland and Arsenal podcast. So thank you for listening, listeners. We'll be back with you very soon. Bye-bye.
And here's some more shenanigans after the podcast ended.
I've no idea why I went all fucking open all hours or no, not open all hours. What is it? Jesus Christ.
That was very good.
I can't remember his name now.
Mr. Grimsdale?
Yeah, went all Mr. Grimsdale at the end. Yeah. That was very odd.
Mr. Grimsdale!
Oh, fucking hell, Ronaldo. Stop shooting from all over the shop.
I just decided that I really went to Barda.
Do you really want what?
He's fucking... Do you know what? He's fucking brilliant. His movement is phenomenal.
Welcome who? 2015.
Dybala.
Yeah. Oh, Dybala. Yeah.
Inkickable.
Do you know the one that I can't get my head around is Real Madrid. They don't give a fuck about Isco anymore, do they? That's a bit of a weird one.
Well, they need to get a big like superstar signing, didn't they? I still think they're going to go for Hazard again.
Yeah, I think they will.
Isn't it because he's a 10 as well?
It's because Solari doesn't like ego, does he? He's playing that kid at right back at the moment, isn't he?
I reckon Allegri will get the job in the summer.
Yeah.
They put Bale on the transfer list, haven't they? But they've asked for like 90 mil, which they're not going to get. Oh, Costa.
We just got rid of one overrated Welsh player. We don't need I'm joking.
Keep that in, Danny.
Oh, dear. What have you done?
We've got enough injury prone players. Yeah, and frankly, I can't put up with Jace with another Welshman. I can't I'd tell you what though,
I do agree with him. I would take a punt on that kid from Swansea.
Oh god, yeah.
Fuck me, he's so quick.
He's phenomenal.
Not just him. I'd break the bank for Brooks at Bournemouth. I think he's absolute worldly, Brooks, that kid. How he's
Ampadu as well. They've got some really good young players, haven't they, Wales?
Ampadu, I'm less sure about because I think he needs a wash. But
put that fucking Barnett out.
Yeah, no, I think he's good, but I think in that position, I think it's more of a risk. But a wide player, you got no risk, have you? Because there's always resale value for a wide player and pace and all that. Everyone's going to buy pace, so yeah, no, I'd go for that. Absolutely.
You know, he's got lice.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I've got them. They're all fine.
But that kid at Swansea, do you think, like, when we first saw Owen and you thought, oh, fucking hell, he's brilliant, like, I fear for fast-paced hamstrings all the time.
But I didn't see, like, Jason said about how quick he was and I hadn't seen it. And then I watched the goal yesterday. And I was like, what the fuck? It's ridiculous. It's like the first time you see Mbappe when he runs with the ball. You're like, oh, okay. Yeah, never mind. I ain't catching that. Oh, dear.
That was good.
Thank you.
You like the new way we do it? It's better than Skype, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to work.
The quality, and it's not such a hassle to get into the call and everything.
Plus,
yeah.
I've adjusted all of your volumes because Chris was a little bit loud.
Sorry, yeah.
And Carl was a little bit quiet, then too loud, and I adjusted as we went along. John's always
But you can perfect. Change it as you go. Yeah. That's the easy thing. Yeah. You can't do that with Skype.
If you want me tomorrow, Danny, I probably will be all right to do that.
Yeah,
good. But I haven't done. I thought I could test it now, couldn't I? My camera, because I haven't used it for a while, and I don't know if it works. Let me just put my cock away a minute, and I'll just see if it works.
Hey, there he is. He's there.
Didn't take you long to put it away.
It's only small. It's like that big.
I was going to say, I ain't got far to travel.
So that works, all right? Does it? That's,
yeah.
That all works. Okay, good. Right, well, there you go. I'll turn that off and get my cock back out. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Oh,
cool.
The cock, we do miss him. What's he doing in Spain? Fuck all.
No, he plays for Valencia. He's sort of a one in two games type of player. Now he plays the odd one or two. His trouble is he's competing with Kondogbia for that spot, who's quite good.
Gabriel, is he just busy getting sent off and
headbutting his own teammates?
Yeah, he's still there making a mockery of life. Yeah.
Did you not see the picture of him, Danny, where he's bleeding from his head? He got sent off and took out a teammate in the same game. And there's a picture of him on the on a medical bed or whatever with his thumb up, blood pouring out of his head, and his teammate's like knocked out next to him.
If they'd have just listened to one episode of any of our shows while both of them were here, we could have saved him 30 million quid.
Oh, if only Arsenal would listen to anyone's insistence on Mustafi not being 35 million as well.
Yeah, the first thing they'd do is hire Dom. And then they get Chris in to do a bit of training with them and sort their hair out. Get Carl to make sure they'll get to work on time. Special Arsenal tube train could be done. Right, Matt.
I wonder if one of the big teams is going to go in for. They were talking about it on Football Weekly going for Nuno.
Trouble is with that though, it comes down.
It comes down to that
fuckwit of an agent there, doesn't it? That's the thing. He dictates where Nuno goes, doesn't he? It's not really down to.
Oh, is he Nuno?
He's a Mendes chap, isn't he? I think, you know, I could see him at Juve if Allegri won. I could see that.
I think Zidane will come in and take the job, won't he?
Well, I suppose, yeah, that's the logical one, isn't it? I guess, yeah, I never thought of that. But no, I think it's.
So what Lana was saying, she said something about he's like taking an ambassador and something else position on the board as well already.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose it makes sense. So, doesn't it?
Yeah, just like. Bring him back into the club.
Have you seen much of this kid at Milan?
Which one?
This Brazilian lad that people are saying.
Oh, Paquetá.
Yeah.
A new player. He looks very good. Yeah, he does look really good.
I haven't really seen enough to judge in truth, but I've heard good things about him when he's in Brazil. But
he's like instantly seems to have clicked with El Piontek.
Mm, who is just unreal at the moment, isn't he?
I mean, if he keeps up that record, Milan have got the bargain of the century.
Yeah.
And like I don't know if they have or not, but I assume Genoa maybe have a sell-on fee. Possibly. It might be in that contract.
Yeah.
But, wow. Yeah. His celebration is dreadful, but yeah.
I'm waiting for the day when I turn on Football Weekly and Collings is on there, because you know that's going to happen.
Long, is it?
Oh, God,
that'll be next.
And next time, and when we WhatsApp him, it'll be his PR company to say, so I'm busy at the moment.
We don't approve of these images of these groups any longer. Yeah,
we did suggest to him to do a or we should have suggested to him to do an Insta post saying about how much he loves ABW.
Yeah,
and he's not in it for the money. He's just found somewhere he can call home.
That's what Gunner Blog did, wasn't it?
that post did it, but then he put hashtag Amy Lawrence.
Yeah. That was
so good.
It's like when they had the end of that podcast the other day, and they when it was all about the abuse to Ainsley Maitland-Niles, and at the end, our vlog said, he's like, yeah, tweet us your shit, we'll read it, we'll laugh at it. Yeah, it'll be brilliant. Tweet us all your abuse. That was just, quality stuff. You got to love it.
Colin said every time he's coming on now, he's going to suggest as a follow just to have David Ornstein as his.
Every time.
Every single time.
I've just seen your last comment in the group there, Danny. That's priceless.
What's that? How about you? Listeners, shut the fuck up. I'm right.
Shut up. Fuck off. I thought I was very measured.
But you're so eloquent when they cunt you. This is from 2 or 3 years ago. They're cunting you off in the comments going, you're such a big head. You think you know it all. And you go, thank you for your opinion, sir. We are reaching out to the road. You're just fucking winding them up and being polite to them.
Well, that's,
you may well think that, but it doesn't mean you're right.
Thank you
for your comments.
It's the thing. It's killing them with kindness, isn't it? It's that. I try to be more measured.
Who was it who used to just send them a picture of a kitten?
Me.
Yeah.
Or Danny Cowan. Cowan.
Yeah, he just sends us a picture of a kitten, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, there was one of them where... I didn't know, I wasn't listening to it, and I started out, there was one of the good ones was when we lost to Bayern, and you did, it was like an enigma, and I put in the chat box like a fucking enigma video with Chris with his candle in front of him. And there's another one where I open it and they go, hello and welcome, keep your charges glassed and your glasses trendy.
Completely arse about face.
And there's another one where I'm looking really, I've got the camera right up to my face and saying, this is the way we all do videos now, taking the piss out of you because the camera was always too close.
Right in the face. Akeem reminded me the other day of when we did that, we did the live Man City game. Do you remember we did that experiment? Yeah.
We've done like 580 shows, all for absolutely everything.
That's bonkers in itself.
And I've got 250 more to put in. But the most live views we've had so far, if I go to Z to A.
I bet it was a defeat.
Yeah. No surprise there.
It'll be that, Palace. And then the FA Cup final will be like close, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Well, it's 3-0 to Palace, 518. 5-1 Bayern, 475. 5-1 Bayern, 406.
Oh, that's a different 5-1.
2-0 to Spurs, 403. 3-1 as Man City, we lost 375. The Batistov one is already there because I've put the last view in. There's about another 250 to go between them, but the highest view. So I had to compilate all the ones with the transfer deadline day shows. But individual show, with Palace beat us 3-0, 12,748 watched that. Saw it on watched it on YouTube. Another 4,000 on SoundCloud.
Good times.
16,000. Yeah.
Everyone fucking just.
Oh, it's a red card. Otamendi's gone.
Oh, dear.
The yellows.
It's all falling apart at the seams. Yep.
So how does that work? The fact that, even if you get a different manager, one of the most successful managers in the world, you give him no end of money, buy all the players from outside the Premier League.
Because he's a fucking fraud. That's why. Because he can't hack it when the pressure is on.
Danny,
he can't win the big one.
Why did you let him?
That's why. Dirty.
I preferred it when Chris was talking about
dirty,
wrinkles.
Stripy jumper wearing bold.
Oh, that's our rascal jumper, that was. That was
it
great.
Did look like the test screen from the 80s, didn't it?
But wonderful. Even when they come to Arsenal and other teams like that, as soon as you become a Premier League player, you're just no good in Europe anymore.
They'll still get a result from this game.
The other thing as well is, Danny, it's way harder to win the Champions League if you're a Premier League team.
Because they don't help the clubs out, do they?
Well, they don't help the clubs out. The no winter break, you have an extra cup competition. The only league that has another cup competition is France, Italy. Isn't it?
Yeah, and Italy nobody takes either of the no French Cup seriously.
Yeah, and also they have a winter break that we don't.
Well, Farnham don't even take the main cup competition seriously. Always getting the third division teams getting to the semi-finals.
The extra games, the lack of break, the speed the league's played at.
Plus, how many of the other leagues have got 18 teams rather than 20?
Yeah, Italy has 18. It makes the league more competitive. It means that every game should actually mean something. Whereas, Watford's games for the rest of the season don't really mean anything. You know, Bournemouth's don't necessarily. Do you know what I mean?
He has had a moment here, Pep. He has had a moment. So, no. Otamendi sent off. He's just done that. He's done that thing where he sort of rubs his face and sort of like, because he can't keep his emotions in, can he?
No.
So he's sort of done this whole, oh God, what do I do? And he's taken off David Silva to bring on Vincent Kompany. Why not just take off
the most creative player?
Exactly. Yeah. And even Silva shook his head as if to say, what are you doing?